News from NPR is made possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, offering pinch-proof doors, keyless digital entries, and lifetime manufacturer's warranties. Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families with professionally installed doors and automatic openers since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's March the 8th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with all today's agricultural news, including more on bird flu in Europe, the mandatory livestock pricing law, and the Doha round of the WTO. After the news, we'll check in again with Gary Schnitke, just in case you missed the Schnitke spiel on crop insurance yesterday afternoon. We have the two-minute version for you today. And don't forget, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That comes up just after the bottom of the hour. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished in the March wheat pit like this, 376, up 5.5 cents for that contract. And the May futures in the wheat pit at 384.5 were up 3.5 cents. From Kansas City, the March contract rallied 6 cents at the end of this day at $4.39. In Chicago again, from the corn pit, nearby March contract at $2.19, down 2. May futures off 2.5 at 228, and July corn at 238.25, down 2.5 cents. December futures, your harvest month at 256.75, off a penny for the day. Soy complex now, nearby March beans at 572.25, off 5.75. May futures at 584, we're down 6. And July's at 596, off 5.5 cents. November beans down 4.25 at 609.75. March bean meal, 170.180. They were off 70 cents for the day. The March bean oil down 36 at 23.59. Feeder cattle, Mercantile Exchange, $104 even. They were off 70 cents today for the March contract. And the April live cattle at 84.15, down 62.5. Lean hogs finished the April contract at 59.15. And they were down 25 for the day.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley, ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
We had a great day yesterday at the Beef House. Thanks for coming over. Let's take a look at what happened at the Board of Trade and give us an update on where you think the marketplace is headed, please.
Well, the marketplace in corn closed right on the 40-day moving average in the corn contract, and, you know, that kind of gives us a kind of a twilight version of what's going to happen. The market, I searched the wires and tried to see if there's any one major thing, and, of course, we all know that the commodity funds are very, very long. The anticipation of a supply-demand report on Friday indicates that, you know, we are going to probably see a reduction of 67 million bushels in the corn carryover. And, there's no major changes in the weather forecast other than we are starting to see good rains in the Midwest, which is, you know, just what the doctor ordered for this time of year. There's no major weather forecast changes in the wheat country other than the fact that there is chances of rain. One model was a little drier, but the other model continues to point for pretty good rainfall. All in all, the market did see this price erosion. Some people are saying there is some commodity funds that are liquidating because of poor profitability and because of rules, they have to liquidate certain positions. Other than that, Todd, the market was extremely dull. It did weaken both in corn and soybeans. As we talked about yesterday at the Outlook meetings, It's almost a unanimous verdict that soybeans are the most bearish commodity on the Board of Trade.
Yeah, and that always seems to be the time that you might want to turn around and think about it going the other direction. But I can't imagine what would push it that way. Well, I could imagine a couple of things, I suppose. We didn't talk about rust, and that would be the one product, I suppose, one thing that might turn the soybeans the other direction.
It was mentioned a couple of times, but it was on page 4 of the newspaper. And as you mentioned, it's basically out of the realm of concern in South America. The other thing that I think that's been brought up, too, is that there is a feeling that we will see the supply demand and see if there is any surprises on that. But our general impression is that you could even actually see some improved yields in South America, and those numbers could even get bigger in time.
We talked a bit yesterday about the acreages, and Allendale released this morning its acreage survey. It shows corn at 80,254,000, I believe, and that's down 1.5 million from last year. Soybeans acreage at 74.2, and they were up about 2 million. And my guess is that that's pretty much where everybody, all of our analysts are in that range. And so that's not any news that will push the market particularly one way or the other either, I suspect.
We did talk about the acreage issue yesterday, and some of the, grip insurance and things of that nature, and some of the freedom to farm, so to speak, we continue to see this the general feeling of corn does gross the most dollars and is a very profitable commodity to plant. And I think that when we are out at these meetings and listen very carefully, the tone indicates that it's business as usual in the Midwest. We do know that in the drier areas where the irrigation costs are a factor, there could be some changes there, as well as in some of the irrigated areas of the Southwest. But right now, it looks like it's business as usual in the cornfields of central Illinois.
Any reason to sell any more, make any more sales at this point for new crop corn?
I continue to reevaluate that on every idea, and my opinion is no. And I guess if I had to take a barometer, I would say the panels were very bearish on both corn and soybeans, and I'm almost to the point where I think they really haven't updated on some new fundamental changes in the last 10 days to 2 weeks. So my opinion is, no, I wouldn't encourage any more selling of new crop corn at this time.
Your look at the Mercantile Exchange for me?
Wow. The continuation of just market liquidation in the cattle market is there. I think the unfortunate situation with Japan and the mad cow issue continues to haunt the cattle market. We understand that the tonnage and the price levels on hogs seem to be pretty good, with increase in offsetting demands from the chicken problems. When it's all said and done, it's liquidation in the cattle pit, and it could very well be close to a major bottom in that market.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the
day? Have a profitable day, Todd.
You too. Paul Cooley with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Wednesday afternoon. Paul, of course, over at our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, yesterday. If you were there, or if you weren't, and you'd like to hear some of what happened, I think, in fact, almost all of what happened, it is meticulously being put up on our website by our own director of ag programming here, Dave Dickey. By the time we get done with this program, it should almost all be there. The link is actually on the right-hand side of the page. You'll see a link that says All Day Ag Outlook 2006. It's in the little right-hand side menu in gray. Link to that, and you'll find almost all of the programming content that went on yesterday. If it's not there when you're there, come back and visit, because it takes a while to get all that audio programming up. Dave is working very hard, and I would think that it'd be up by at least late this afternoon, all of it. So you can come back and check that. Of course, the webpage address is willag.org.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's own Jay Searle forecast across the two-state region for tonight looks like this. He says cloudy, some areas of thunderstorms, a bit of heavy rain, severe weather possible through the evening. Lows will range this evening from the 40s in northern Illinois to the 50s in southern Indiana. And tomorrow, Jay says, thunderstorms and heavy rain will continue widespread, with severe weather mainly in the southern part of the state of Illinois through central Indiana. Highs will range tomorrow from 50 in northern Illinois to the upper 60s in the southern part of Indiana. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with a complete look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580.
In agricultural news, European animal health officials continue to discover more cases of the deadly strain of avian influenza among migrating waterfowl. Polish officials confirmed that two dead swans found in the country had H5N1 bird flu. Meanwhile, three cats were confirmed with the disease in Austria. The three animals were living in a shelter where the disease already had been detected in chickens. In its latest tally, the UN's World Health Organization said the bill for avian influenza has cost more than $10 billion and affected more than 30 million farmers worldwide. WHO also said the current situation has the potential to become more dangerous than flu pandemics in 1918, 1957, and 1968. Iowa Senators Charles Grassley and Tom Harkin have scheduled meetings with House lawmakers on Friday in the hopes of reaching a compromise that will clear the way for a renewal of the livestock mandatory pricing law. Grassley says if the meeting goes well, the law could go back into effect very quickly.
So if we can reach an agreement this way, then we don't have to go to conference, and maybe the House doesn't want to go to conference, and it's to expedite the process. There's a deadlock, and we're trying to get around that deadlock, and that's keeping us from moving forward.
The old livestock mandatory pricing law expired last September. Last fall, the House passed a five-year renewal, while the Senate opted for a single year. The chief U.S. negotiator in free trade talks with South Korea said Tuesday she is under orders to conclude an agreement by the end of this year, good enough for lawmakers in Washington to accept. Formal negotiations begin on June 5th in Washington, D.C. U.S. and European negotiators are meeting this weekend in London to see if an impasse over agricultural issues can be broken in the Doha round. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte is not optimistic.
Events can certainly change that, and I could be wrong about the WTO, but I will tell you that the differences that we have with the Europeans and other key players in that are very, very discouraging right now, and I think we need to look after our own.
Goodlatte also says he does not favor a one-year extension of the 2002 Farm Bill unless a WTO world trade deal is imminent. But House Ag Committee Ranking Democrat Colin Peterson says there's new talk in Congress for a Farm Bill extension.
I've got a Republican sponsor now. Joanne Emerson signed on to the bill. And Representative Thornberry from Texas introduced his own bill just a couple days ago, which I intend to sign on to. He actually goes further than I do. His bill is actually more proscriptive. It actually extends the Farm Bill further than mine would. I think it says that the Farm Bill will be extended until 6 months after the Congress passes the WTO agreement. I'm going to sign on to Thornberry's and, you know, do what I can to try to build momentum.
In other world trade news, the U.S. says it has rejected an Australian government request to reopen the two nations' bilateral free trade deal in order to increase Australia's sugar quota. The news comes as the two nations reviewed the first year of the pact. U.S. Trade Representative Rob Portman says some segments of U.S. agriculture have benefited.
We're pleased to report that the free trade agreement is already yielding benefits for both Australia and the United States. U.S. exports to Australia were at record levels in 2005 for red meat, fresh and processed fruit and vegetables, tree nuts, pet food, vegetable oil, rice, and wine.
Portman also urged Australian officials to work for further progress in the areas of agriculture, telecommunications, and intellectual property rights. Mexican officials said yesterday that they would comply with a WTO ruling and end a 20% tax on beverages made with high fructose corn syrup. Mexican officials are preparing a timetable for compliance. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, if you missed it yesterday at our all-day Agricultural Outlook meeting or here on the radio station, we've got the two-minute version of Gary Schnitke's look at crop insurance and some directions on how you can get to the FarmDoc website and make some decisions about that risk management tool. It comes up in just a moment. The federal crop insurance figures for corn, soybeans, and wheat were finalized March 3rd. Farmers around the Midwest have until the 15th to evaluate those changes and decide how it may impact their risk management decisions. And Gary Schnitke develops the iFarm Crop Insurance Premium Calculator and Evaluator for the University of Illinois FarmDoc website. He has some recommendations.
This year, I think you really have to look at a revenue product or really look at revenue products because of the high base prices. And again, $2.59 for corn and $6.18 for soybeans are really good prices. So the revenue products would be something that I would be looking at for Illinois, and either, you know, a revenue assurance or a CRC or a GRIP would be the products that have worked well in the past and are likely to work well this year as well.
Schnitke divides his crop insurance recommendations into four categories. They're based on the financial health of the farm and how aggressively this year's crop has been hedged in the marketplace. Schnitke suggests producers up their coverage levels, too. It'll be costly, he says, but should be worth the money spent.
Corn, we can, if you're looking at a CRC or a revenue product, you can be looking at a price in the high $18 or teens. And low 20s even. If anything, again, this year, I would be trying to put that revenue floor down, and maybe if you're concerned about the revenue cost increases, think about going without the guarantee increase, which will lower the premium, but having pretty good coverage levels.
The tools on the FarmDoc website allow producers to calculate premiums and compare side-by-side all of the federal crop insurance choices. The FarmDoc tool can be used for corn, soybeans, and wheat for the 12 states in the Midwest and Maryland. From University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You can access and use the iFarm insurance calculators on the FarmDoc website. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. If you'd like to hear more from Gary Schnitke, an 11-minute interview is up on our own website. That's at willag.org. And we'll post the PDF file of the presentation he made yesterday at the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. All of those things are available through the website. As I told the audience yesterday, 10 years ago, we asked you to get a computer and get online via dial-up. Now I think it's time for you to invest in a bigger bridge. Order broadband. It may have to come by satellite, but once you start using it for your business, I'm sure you'll find it indispensable.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
On this Wednesday afternoon, we're joined by Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Well, yesterday when we had you up on the stage and we were going back through what had happened in the cash grain market over the last year, especially last season, how the market had progressed through the summertime and then Katrina coming in and late fall, and I really was looking when I asked the final question on LDP and what everybody expected in terms of the size of the potential LDPs this fall to be. I expected an answer that said, no, there's no way that we'll end up with a 40-cent LDP or above for corn, and you surprised me yesterday and came out with a number just a bit bigger than that, said that you thought it was a possibility. Why are there reasons that that can happen?
Well, for one thing, we've got a huge carryover, and you know, we've these genetics in corn have proven very successful, and we've raised some awfully good crops in a row, and I don't trust all the bullish news that we're getting, especially about Chinese. And you know, you're probably right. I would say probably the chances are that it won't be, but there is a possibility that it could. So I may have rushed with my answer, but you know, there is always a possibility because some of the numbers you just can't trust.
Well, I understand, and I was awfully glad that you quipped back with that answer. I was sort of setting that up along the way, and you surprised the devil out of me when you came back with that answer. But that's what happens when we have a number of analysts that we talk to on the air. They always come up with something that is a bit surprising and makes you think about how the marketplace might react. Speaking of this marketplace, what do you think of the trade lower in the bean and the corn pit for the day?
Well, things have turned a little bit more bearish. There's no doubt about that. It's more technical than anything, Todd, because you know we've these funds have been running this market up, especially in corn, and they've helped the wheat market, but they just aren't playing at all in the beans. But you know, and I'm not that much of a technician, but they're talking like May corn could go down to 224. That's another 4 cents. But you know, we're in a downtrend, and I think the corn will hold within the next dime, but beans, you know, it's a turkey shooting these beans. I just really don't know. But, yeah, we've lost 11 cents in corn, about 22 cents in beans the last three sessions.
You say a turkey shooting. You know, everybody was bearish yesterday on the bean pit, but they've been that way, the analysts have, for months, and the beans just hang on. Are we certain, in fact, that it's all the funds in the marketplace holding the beans up, or is there something that might be in the background that we just haven't picked up yet?
I really haven't seen it. And, you know, really we've got a big carryout worldwide and here in our own country. And, you know, there's no doubt that the world appetite for beans is really insatiable, but, you know, we're just growing too daggone many, and South America keeps growing more every year. The near term is just bearish in beans, and I can't see any reason to pull it out unless the funds drive it up for some reason.
What are your bids for the day?
All right, our cash corn today is 198, cash beans 555, and new crop wheat is 359.
Okay, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Kay joined us at the All Day Ag Outlook meeting over at the Beef House yesterday. If you'd like to hear her comments and all of those from the cash grain panel, you can just visit our website at willag.org. As we get those processed and they're available to be put up on the website, we'll post them there. Some of them are there already, and many will be there in probably by 4 o'clock this afternoon. So if you're interested in hearing what happened at the All Day Ag Outlook, you can pick those up off our website. Make sure that you look in the menu on the right-hand side of willag.org for All Day Ag Outlook 2006. Once you click on that page, you'll see some photos of yesterday's program along with the audio content that you can download and listen to at your own leisure. In about 2 minutes, I'll take a look at the agricultural weather with Drew Lerner. And right now, your local newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The Champaign-Urbana-Mass Transit District is holding a public meeting next Monday in southwest Champaign to tell residents about mass transit services and take in their comments. But the organizer of a referendum to form a separate mass transit district in southwest Champaign is criticizing the meeting. Scott Tapley says the meeting is a use of tax dollars to influence how people vote in the referendum and should be illegal if it isn't already. CUMTD spokesman Mike Stubbe says while the timing of the meeting isn't entirely a coincidence, their main concern is to provide residents with information about their transportation options. A defense attorney for George Ryan says the former Illinois governor never awarded state contracts and leases based on whether his friends had an interest in the deals. Lawyer Dan Webb told jurors during closing arguments today that Ryan relied on recommendations from experts and didn't get involved in the nitty-gritty details of such decision-making. A fifth member is resigning from Illinois' Hate Crimes Commission, which has drawn scrutiny over the appointment of a Nation of Islam official. Alan Spellberg of the Cook County State's Attorney's Office is joining four others who pulled out of the Governor's Commission on Discrimination and Hate Crimes. A pretrial hearing for a man charged with drowning three children in Clinton Lake has been cut short because his attorney abruptly withdrew a motion. Lawyers for Maurice Legrone Jr. has sought to bar statements made by the children's mother, but that issue will now be decided during his upcoming trial. Engineering, construction, and other interests that stand to gain from Indiana's Major Moves Highway Initiative have contributed more than $300,000 to a nonprofit that promotes the plan. Aiming Higher Incorporated is paying $60,000 for last-minute TV ads promoting Major Moves. And clinics would have to inform women in Indiana seeking abortions that life begins at conception and that a fetus may feel pain as part of a contentious abortion bill that some Indiana lawmakers are trying to revive. A conference committee of both House and Senate members met Wednesday to try to resolve differences between their versions of the bill. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. Helping to create a storehouse of possibilities and products from a single seed. ADM, resourceful by nature.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now to take a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Looks like we're going to get rainfall here in the Midwest tonight, and it might be some rough weather. Tell me about it, please.
Absolutely. We've got quite a temperature contrast setting up out there just off to the west in portions of Kansas, Missouri, and neighboring areas. I think parts of Nebraska is only in the 30s and 40s at this hour, but just across the border in northeastern Kansas, it's in the mid-70s. And this temperature contrast is also occurring along a dry line that's beginning to form in eastern Kansas. Now, over the next several hours, all of these conditions I've just mentioned will shift into Missouri. And as we go into the night tonight, we'll start tapping into some Gulf of Mexico moisture to help fire up some thunderstorms that will become severe. And a line of severe thunderstorms will likely stretch from northwestern Arkansas into Illinois by the time we get into the night tonight. And some very heavy thunderstorms producing hail, damaging wind, maybe even a tornado or two will occur across portions of the central Midwest as we go through the night and into the day tomorrow. So very definitely going to be a rough period of time, our first outbreak of severe weather this season. And the heavy rain that's going to come is certainly going to cause some other issues possibly. The ground is not that dry in some areas, and we will quickly saturate it with some 1 to 3 inch rainfall totals across parts of the area. I don't expect any widespread serious flooding, but there will be some localized flash flooding in some areas.
That would be to the south of Champaign-Urbana and the southern part of the state. How about in the northern part of the state? Will they be relieved of some of their droughty conditions?
We're definitely headed down the right road for improvement. We've already seen some precipitation occur in recent days. We'll probably find a little bit more precipitation moving across that area, but unfortunately, this particular storm system is not going to generate a tremendous volume of rainfall for those areas in Wisconsin, northwestern Illinois, and eastern Iowa. Some precipitation, yes, but as far as any kind of widespread soaking is concerned, not from this storm. There's still a lot of reason to have hope, though. The trend model that we run here at World Weather does suggest that the month of April will generate quite a bit of precipitation across portions of the region. We may not take care of the long-term subsoil moisture deficits that are still with us, but we should do a very good job in easing the dryness at the topsoil level.
How's the weather for harvest season in South America?
Still looks very good. We've managed to get field work to continue to move along at a normal pace across portions of Brazil, even though it's been raining fairly frequently in the past couple of weeks. The latest data from there suggests that we're actually still a little bit ahead of the usual pace for harvesting, and drier weather is going to evolve as we move forward over the next 10 days or so, and that should help to generate a little bit better environment yet. So I don't anticipate any serious problems in Brazil, and Argentina looks pretty darn good as well.
The Chinese planting season moving swiftly closer, just like it is here in the United States. How are they set up for moisture levels?
Well, I think most of China is in a pretty good position right now. There's a little bit of a surplus of moisture across the southern portions of the country. It's also a little bit cooler than usual in that area right now, so a little bit of a delay in the startup of corn planting. But it looks like areas to the north are in pretty good shape, at least for this time of the year. We're still a few weeks away from the start of planting in the major corn-producing areas in the North China Plain, but it does look like that area, if it could get just one or two little rain events, it'll be in fine shape, I think, and along with some warming, obviously.
We appreciate you being with us today, Drew.
Thank you, and have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Wednesday afternoons. Don't forget to tune back in tomorrow morning right here at WILL at 8:49 for our first look at the markets. And remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis, the cash grain analysis, and the weather right there on our website, along with all of the audio programming from all the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting held yesterday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The address is short now, WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.